read a little something this morning to you. And it is titled, The Man and the Goals. Not goals like those things that we hopefully set each year and then we forget, right? About a month later. But the goals, like a seagull. The Man and the Goals. And perhaps you've heard this story before, but I want to share it with you again. It is gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every night until his death in 1973, he'd return, walking slowly and slightly stooped with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, in October 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour that would hurl Captain Eddie into the worst harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water, the weather, and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling against sharks that rammed their rafts. The largest raft was 9 by 5. The largest shark was 10 feet. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. 8 days out, their rations were gone or destroyed by salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them. In Captain Eddie's words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, read the service that afternoon. And we finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off. Something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everyone else knew too. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that gull. The gull meant food, if I could catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Its flesh was eaten. Its intestines were used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because of a lone seagull. Uncharacteristically, hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. You know that Captain Eddie made it. And now you know also that he never forgot. Because every Friday night, about sunset, on a lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking. White-haired, bushy-eyebrowed, slightly bent. His bucket filled with shrimp was to feed the gulls. To remember that one which on a day long past gave itself without a struggle like manna in the wilderness. What a story, and I wanted to share that story being that our minds every week, I think, but specifically this time of year where we're contemplating our lives. And we're thinking about many things. Especially this week, we're thinking about, trying to think about all of the things that we are thankful for. The things in life that we are grateful for we all know we have so much to give thanks for. And so I want to put before you the question this morning. What is your sacrificial seagull? What is that thing in your life that you truly, in your heart and in your mind, are very, very thankful for? I think I could answer that for you and for me. I think we all are thankful for the same things. But Thanksgiving really is a special holiday to me, to all of us. I love Thanksgiving. It's really simple. You just pretty much eat, right? You eat and then you talk with people you love. And then you doze off because you've eaten so much and you sleep. Ed's nodding his head over there in the corner. And then you do it all again, right? You get up and you eat some more and you talk a little bit with your family. And then you fall asleep again. And I think you repeat that several times throughout the day. Since 1798, our nation has participated in the national holiday that we call Thanksgiving. Supposedly, both Congresses requested that George Washington recommend to the people of the U.S. to set aside a day of thanksgiving and a day of prayer to be acknowledged with notice, to be acknowledged with gratefulness to God. Thanksgiving is a special holiday. And although in our country's history been around for a couple hundred years, Thanksgiving really has been around a lot longer than that. Matter of fact, when we look at Scripture, we find numerous times, many times, the expression of thanksgiving and gratitude and how important it is for God's people to be a thankful people. It does something to us, doesn't it? I know there are moments of my life where I haven't been very thankful and I don't feel good about myself in life when I'm not thankful. And God knows that. He made us. He knows how we work. We need to express our thanks. Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Why would he say that? By the direction of the Spirit of God, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High God. When Paul in the New Testament wrote to the church at Ephesus about being imitators of God in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 3 and 4, he will say, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. Paul will also write in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, that section where he talks about the new self and where the mind needs to be set on the things that are above. At the end of that chapter, he will say, in conclusion, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Three verses, three times, he talks about giving thanks. It was the late Francis Schaeffer who once said, the beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. And I think he was on to something. Because man loses his way when he loses sight of all that he has to be thankful for. Have you heard this one? What is the worst moment in the life of an atheist? You heard this before? What's the worst moment in an atheist is one that doesn't believe in God. So what's the worst moment in the life of an atheist? I don't remember where I heard this before, but I wrote it down long ago and thought it was good. The worst moment for an atheist is when they have every reason to be thankful, but nobody to thank. Who does an atheist thank? Himself? You're going to thank humans? No, there's a time to thank man. But to thank man for your basic necessities of life, the very air you breathe, the senses that you rely on every single day without thinking about it. You just breathe. Who do you thank? I'll tell you who we're to thank. God's the one we're to thank. Amen? We thank God. Because we depend on Him every single day for every single necessity in our life. So what is your sacrificial seagull today? I want to just direct our mind to some simple things in the Scripture that we know we are to be thankful for. Now, they are not simple in and of themselves, but we all know these are areas that we are to be thankful for. And number one is God our Creator. This week, I hope you'll think about God, your Creator. He gave us life. You know, in the conversations that I have that with those that don't believe in Him, this is the direction that I go. I talk about that we didn't have the choice to be here. Yeah, we make choices today, but you didn't choose your life. You did not choose to become a living, breathing soul. You were given the gift. By the way, even as parents, we did not choose the life of our children. We had a big part in it, yes. But ultimately, we didn't choose that life. God created that life. Matter of fact, the psalmist will say that it was created in the depths of our mother's womb. God wove us intricately, beautifully. That's why the psalmist said that all people are fearfully and wonderfully made. Even the ones that you think, you know what, I'm not so sure about that person. Fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of the Creator. Now, they'll go their own way, and that's where the problem comes. But they are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created man in His own image. The image of God, He created him. You know it, male and female, He created them. Right? He told them, let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the face of the earth. Genesis 1, 26 and following. How about Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, which reads this way. Paul said, in talking about Christ as the incomparable one, He is supreme above all, numero uno. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, that all things have been created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And you know what we learn about our God? We learn a lot of things. We learn how we are to be dependent upon Him for everything. In Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is a great psalm. If you have time, go and meditate on this psalm this week. It's only five stanzas or verses. It's a psalm of thanksgiving, and part of it we sing. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God, and it is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in his hearts and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. And his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. He supplies every need. Go to Acts. We'll read a couple verses quickly in Acts. Chapter 14. Paul was in Lystra, preaching as he was always doing, preaching the gospel. And I want you to hear what he says in verse 15 of chapter 14, actually verse 16. He says, "In the generations gone by, he, that is God, permitted all the nations to go their ways, their own ways. And yet he did not leave himself without witness. That he did good, and he gave them, notice, rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." When was the last time we thought about our fruitful seasons? When was the last time we thought about our hearts being satisfied with food and gladness, the simple necessities of life which come from God? So God is our creator, and he is our sacrificial seagull, ultimately. The one that offered the greatest gift for us. That is the gift, as we know, of our Savior, Isaiah 53 and verse 5, that he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. I want you to look briefly at 1 Peter. Peter will say something also about our Lord and his sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 22 of Jesus, as our example, he committed no sin, nor was there any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he didn't revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed. The Hebrew writer will say of Jesus that although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. How did Jesus learn obedience? To obey and submit to the Father through the things that he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all men the source of eternal salvation. He's our sacrifice. The greatest sacrifice in our life. And that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Jesus, the sacrificial seagull, the indescribable gift. And so we sing so many songs about it. One we sing is, "Give thanks with a grateful heart." Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And let the weak say, "I am strong," and let the poor say, "I am rich," because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. The remaining part of the lesson, I want to share a few other things that I think we naturally know we ought to give thanks for this week. And as you gather around your table with your loved ones, I hope you'll be thinking about some of these things. I know you're going to think about the right things. But sometimes it's so easy not to. Our relationship. The people in our life, wives and husbands, it's easy to forget to be thankful. Before I was married, when I was in school, and Brother Jack Carter was our teacher in our family class, and it's interesting how the things we remember in school and the things that I recall and remember. And one of the things from Jack Carter that plays over in my mind over and over again is he was talking to spouses. He said, don't ever take your spouse for granted. Never. Well, I've failed already in that area. But I understand I need to be grateful for my wife. Because these people aren't going to be with us forever. They're just not. I'll never forget Wilbur Ross. I met him at my first work. I only knew him for about a year. But I'd visit Wilbur. He was in a home. Very intelligent man. He talked. There were three things that he would focus, that we, our conversations would be about. Golf. That wasn't, this isn't in priority, so for you golfers, golf. We'd talk about God, Scripture. He loved the Greek language, and he knew it, and he liked to study the books. And I remember him telling me it was very interesting when you read certain letters, you could see some of the character and personality of the writer through the Greek language. He said you could see in Peter a roughness that you didn't see or hear from Luke or from Paul. But Peter was very rough. Go figure, he was a fisherman, right? Typically, they're a little bit rougher, and he loved the Greek language, but he also talked a lot about his wife. One of the things over and over again he would tell me is how he desired and wished that he could spend more time with his wife. Parents and grandparents, how about our children? Do we forget to be thankful for our children? Because the psalmist says that children are a gift of the Lord. Like arrows that are in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth, Psalm 127. And I need to slow down and I need to see my children. Because my nest egg or whatever else I set my focus and attention on isn't going to be what matters on my deathbed. I've been around a lot of dying people, and that is not something they talk about. What they talk about is their family. What they talk about is relationships and the people they love. And parents, for you kids, you need to be thankful for your parents, right? Your moms and dads, they take care of you. They love you. They provide for you. They feed you, right, Emma? They feed you, don't they? She's over there smiling. But we got to be thankful for our moms and our dads. And I think part of Ephesians 6, 1 and following is part of that. When Paul said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with a promise, so that your days may be long or your life may be long on the earth. And how about being thankful for our nation? I know this is a shaky time. And I know there's discouragement in some people's minds and hearts. But I still think we should be thankful that we live in America. I am. The family was gathered around the table as they do on Thanksgiving. They had their hands together, as many families do. And each one was sharing from young to old something in life they're thankful for. And all the typical things were mentioned at first. And then it came around to someone in the family. I believe it was one of the young ones in the family. And they said, I'm thankful that I live in a country that celebrates Thanksgiving. Because there's many places that don't care about Thanksgiving. Or reasons why they ought to be thankful. Former Prime Minister Tony Blair was asked long ago in an interview with a parliament member why he believes so much in America, and here's what he said. A simple way to take measure of a country is to look at how many people want in and how many people want out. Now, I know there's some people that want out but far less than what wanted. And that says something about the country that we live in. Be thankful. This day, let us remember, like Captain Eddy remembered long ago, that one which on a day long ago gave himself up. Gave himself up without a struggle, like manna in the wilderness. And of course, we're not talking about a seagull. We're talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to stand, and Ken is going to lead us in a song. And this is an invitation for anybody that has made the choice to come forward, to repent of their sins, to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to be baptized into union with Jesus. It is a relationship. Or a time when you need prayer or encouragement. This is a moment when you come forward, and we want to encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.